always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Vic Porcelli.
Come on, you're Italian. You understand.
Every day is a busy day all of a sudden.
You talking to me?
Tough and smart, and I love Italian, so you know, he's definitely Italian.
At least I have this show to come and talk about it and let some stuff up.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
The Vic Porcelli Show.
All right, hour number two ready to roll, thanks to Ken Williams. Starts off with Jim Jones, he'll be with us in just a sec. Mark Harder from the St. Louis County Council at 1041. I'm really interested to hear if there were any pro-Hamas lunatics last night at the council meeting. Why wouldn't they, right? I mean, they're everywhere. Every college campus, it seems. The college campus where I'll tell the story again very quickly because I try to learn something new every day if I can, you know, because once you think you know everything, that's when you're over. Truly, I mean, let's keep it real. I learned last week that Dwight David Eisenhower was the president of Columbia University, Ivy League school, in between the time of being a general and being the president of the United States. And when he was a general, he worried that people would look back and deny that the Holocaust ever happened. That's pretty insightful. A lot of forethought from Dwight Eisenhower.
Oh, yeah.
So much so that he took people that lived, can you imagine, first of all, living near a concentration camp? He took people that lived near, brought them into the concentration camp, let them look at burned bodies so that image would be etched in their brain forever.
And they could report it to everyone else, too.
Exactly, yeah. And not forget it. And look what's happening now. The stupid stuff that's going on, I just don't understand it. All right.
And what we're seeing across the country, that's what I always say, is just replace the flags with swastikas, and it's the same thing.
Might as well. And I'll say this again. You know what? Let me say it to the speaker. You ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm ready for this. I just said it was former Speaker of the House.
You just proved why you left-wing loons are so insane.
Y'all ready for this?
Jim Jones. Mr. Speaker, are you ready for this?
Oh, man, am I ready for this.
I knew you were.
Can you believe the world in which we live in?
I can't.
At least, you know what? You know what, Vic and Ken? At least nobody's pretending anymore, right?
That's
we know now that the modern-day Nazis, the neo-Nazi party of the United States of America 2024, is three letters. It's the DNC. There
Amen.
You go. That's
Amen.
All. Nobody needs to pretend anymore.
Everything they accuse, you know, conservatives of being they are themselves, we call that edstoid. But what I want to say to you, Mr. Speaker, and get your thoughts on, is right now in the year 2024, Jewish people are frightened, scared for their safety, maybe their lives, like they did in the 1940s. And if you get a Palestinian flag to the eye, I think that's proof enough.
I would agree. And you know, Vic, I have been thinking so much about the last few days about the times I spent in New York City, the many years, the nearly decade I spent in New York City. I've had those memories have been washing over me because for the most part, they were some of the best years of my life. I love being up there on the East Coast. People now, younger people now are probably thinking, if they're listening to us, what are you talking about? New York City's a disaster. It is now, that's for sure. But, Vic, Ken, I was there during the rise of one Mayor Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor. And that city, when I was there, experienced a renaissance, and where I'm going to tie it in to what we're talking about right now, which is this virulent anti-Semitism. I mean, Vic, you know this. The East Coast has a massive Jewish population.
Of course.
Jewish American population. Massive. I mean, they're in the majority in a lot of the communities and in the five boroughs of New York City. Vic, I lived out in Queens, where there is a very large, vibrant Orthodox community. And on Friday nights and Saturdays, Shabbat, I would see the Orthodox Jews walking back and forth to synagogue. I mean, these were the hardcore old school guys, you know, with the, I don't know the proper terminology. I'm sure, what's the lovely lady?
Karen Cataline. Yep. Yeah.
Karen straighten all this out.
Yep.
You know, they got the tassels. I call them the tassels, you know, whatever those are, and the hats.
So funny.
Yarmulkes and all that. I mean, so back then though, Vic, New York City was emblematic of the dream of America. It was the great American melting pot. Nobody cared if you were Jewish American, Muslim American, Hindu American, Greek American, Irish American, Italian American, you know, because we all just called each other Americans back in the 90s. That was the post-racial society that we had achieved until Barack Obama and all his race-baiting sycophants screwed it all up, yeah, right, in the 2000s. And they returned us to where we are today, which is, I've heard you guys talking about this. What the hell are we doing going backwards to a segregated society, mm-hmm, and all this divisiveness? Mm-hmm. The left is perpetrating this. And so I have I feel like Mitt Romney anytime I say this stuff. I have a multitude of Jewish friends on the East Coast.
Right.
You know, I have many binders full of them. I've been thinking about them. I've been thinking about them a lot. I've been thinking about my buddy Craig Johnson, whose dad grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, a Protestant, married a nice Jewish girl from Long Island, and Craig's mom and dad ended up settling in Long Island in Port Washington. Craig is the product of, you know, Protestant dad, Jewish mom. Craig considers himself a very proud Jewish American. And I've been thinking about Craig. I've been thinking about my buddy Tal. My buddy Tal, big Democrat, big liberal, but Tal is a dual citizen. He served in the IDF as a young man in the Israeli Defense Forces. He's a dual Israeli U.S. citizen. I'm thinking about I need to reach out to those guys. I hope they're okay. I hope they're not being targeted. All my other friends up there, you know, that I, Marsha and Michelle and all these wonderful people. And, you know, I'm like, they're probably sitting thinking to themselves, what the hell is going on? Is this really happening? I don't think we ever, the stuff that we've read in history books, the horror of the 1930s and 1940s Germany, the virulent anti-Semitism, the final solution, which was code for let's genocide the Jews. It's all coming back. I can't believe I'm even saying these words. I'm waiting to wake up from the horror and the nightmare. And what makes it even worse is it is an American political party, a party that's supposed to stand for things like freedom and liberty and the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. At the very least, they are appeasing this. At the very worst, they are propagating it, promoting it, and making it worse.
You know what, Tim? You are so right on. I'd just like to add a few things to what you're saying, okay? Let me get through all these, and then we'll get your thoughts on it. They talk about, what are they saying, the protesters? Stop the genocide, right? They want to stop the genocide so they can have genocide against the Israelis, right? That's exactly what's going on there. That's number one. And when you made me think of something, and you brought back some great memories of my street when I grew up, right? We used to, you know, play kickball, play, you know, stickball in the street, all of us, and just on my little street, the Zimmermans, the Goldsteins, the Skolniks, the Novembers, all Jewish families, and the rest of them Italian. It was either Italian or Jewish on my street. And we all got along. Everything was great. Now, you brought up that everybody lived kind of together and peacefully back when you lived in New York, but there were still signs of anti-Semitism back then. Were you living there when a kid named Yankel Rosenbaum was killed? Do you remember the Yankel Rosenbaum story? In Crown Heights?
So, Vic, I was there from 1989 through 1998. So I don't remember if that occurred during that decade or not.
I'm going to find out right this second.
Okay. Yes. But yeah, no, you're right, Vic. It's never gone, right? Just like when I say that we were post-racial, that doesn't mean everything was solved. It means that we were getting to a point where we were, hopefully a slightly more accepting society. And like what you just said was true. I was a white kid from Eureka, Missouri, right? It's hard to get much more hillbilly than that, you know, and for all the liberals out there, you know, who always say, oh, how very white of you. Well, I was plunked down in one of the most, by my own volition, in one of the most multicultural, multiracial, multiethnic places on the planet, and definitely in our country. And you know what? It was a great experience for me. The liberals always talk about this crap. They always talk the talk. They never actually walk the walk, right? I went into a place where I was exposed to just about everything, and we all accepted each other. We didn't agree with each other all the time. I went to college and law school there, and then I practiced law for a while. And so you would have brutal knockdown debates and civil discourse on all sorts of issues, including racism and segregation and how to become a more perfect union. But it was always done in a manner. And then when you were done, it was like the Roadrunner and the Coyote. Everybody put down their weapons of, you know, their verbal weapons of war, and we all went to the local watering hole together. Yeah. That's what people used to do. Right. Now the Democrats, they literally want to separate society into different camps,
right,
into different encampments, into different autonomous zones. This is all their code word and their language. You know what another word for that is? It's called segregation, right?
Yeah.
It's just reverse racism, or it's a new version of racism,
mm-hmm,
but it's segregation, it's divisive, and you know what ultimately that is? Guys, that is Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. That's Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto. This is how you destroy society and rebuild it with two classes of people, the haves and the have-nots,
yep,
the oppressors and the oppressed, but you fake it as to who is the elites and who is the lower classes.
Yep.
That's what they want. They don't like this United States of America. This United States of America, with all of its problems, its warts and its wounds, it still is a place where a young man or young woman born in abject poverty, black, white, brown, yellow, purple, whatever color of the rainbow they might be, can still rise from a rags to riches story. And that is what they can't stand. They can't stand a place that allows upward mobility. They can't stand a place that doesn't have a strict, stringent caste system, right? They need the system to be what I just said, the haves and the have-nots, the ruling class and the ruled over. And the elites will be the ones that they will pick. They will be the uber progressive, as I often say, left-wing lunatics.
That's right. By the way, Yanko Rosenbaum was killed in 1991. He was stabbed by a guy named Limerick Nelson, a guy from Trinidad who was convicted of that. But, you know, when I lived on Lowell Terrace in Bloomfield, New Jersey. Is that me? Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know this is your first day. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm new here. So, you know, but when the Goldsteins and the Skolniks, and I forgot Robbie Steer lived at the end of the street with the Porcellis, the Lanzaras, the Colicellas, I'm not even sure I knew they were Jewish. They were just kids that lived on the block that we played softball and then stickball with.
And you know what? Hey, Tim. And you brought up all these names in the neighborhood that you lived, and you put up, you had... You let them be themselves. You didn't mess with what they did in their lives. They didn't mess with what you did in your life. And then you all lived happily ever after until now, where people are like, no, you can't be that way.
Right.
You need to change.
Right.
And that's why we're being confronted with all these issues, I think.
All right. Before time.
You know what I also loved about it?
Yes.
We all got to participate and partake in each other's, like we were all Americans, right?
Right.
All this hyphenated crap has come along later on. We were all Americans, but we all celebrated each other's cultural roots, right? I loved going to the Jewish weddings. I brought some of my Jewish friends to chapel, to church. We had a church right on campus at Fordham University where I went up in the Bronx.
Yeah.
And we'd go there. I would go to their Seder suppers because I was interested. I was like, what do you do? What do you do? Let's check it out. That's pretty cool. Well, that's interesting. Well, that's weird. You know? And so that's what I did, right? Because we used to be a more accepting society, and I'll say it time and again. Everybody can call me, you know, a racist misanthrope or whatever. You know, Barack Obama, you know, as better as Biden he might be now, that guy put us on this path.
Yes.
And one of the worst things he did was return us to, it was like we were in this world. It was like the Adam and Eve thing before the apple, right? We were getting to a point where we weren't dwelling on the differences, right?
Yeah.
Barack Obama forced us, challenged us to basically focus on the differences again, and look at how we are such a separate society. We're such a racist society. And you know, when you say something over and over and over and over again, people start wondering if it's true or not.
Right.
You know? And
right.
So the divisiveness started with him, But Joe Biden, a white guy, has put it on steroids. Exactly. I will say that.
All right, last thing, and then we got to move on because we got some legal lawyer questions for you. But you just made me think of something when you said, you know, the Jewish people going to the Catholic Church or whatever. My daughter Mia, she's never used the word man in her life. It was always dude. You know, like, who's at the door? Some dude. And she went for a sleepover over her friend's house, and she goes, you know, they're Jewish. And I said, really? How do you know? Well, I went to, you know, where they go every Sunday. And she didn't say the rabbi. She goes, the dude said, we as Jews.
The dude said.
Oh, my God. All right. So, listen, serious questions. Tomorrow, okay. Supreme Court is going to talk about immunity for Donald Trump. Your legal mind, what do you think is going to happen? And if they do say he's got immunity, how many of these cases just go away?
So, I think the concept of presidential immunity is definitely something that exists. It needs to be preserved. I worry, if we think back to those legal arguments that Trump made, I worry that some of his counsel may have, remember they may have pushed the envelope a little too far, right? Like with some of the hypotheticals, they probably could have been massaged a little bit, because you know how it is. Justices are lawyers, which means they're human beings with robes on, right? And so you can look at the law. You can look at we always say the black letter of the law. That means the sterility of the law. You know, what do the words say? What do they mean objectively in a vacuum? Now, when you apply those words onto reality, when you take the law and you apply it to the facts, that gives you your conclusion. You know, issue, rule, analysis, conclusion. That was what you're taught in law school. So sometimes when you're applying that law to the facts, the justices don't like to go to the extremes, right? And so that's where the left has corrupted this word. When I was in law school, we were taught about something called equity. It had a totally different meaning. Equity means, okay, I know what the law is, but what is actually going to be fair? What is justice for this situation? May have to bend the law a little bit. May have to squeeze it into this square peg, into this round hole a little bit. So, because we don't want to do the extremes. So presidential immunity. It exists. It should be utilized. We can't just start hauling presidents. First it's going to be after their office, right? Right now. Just wait. There'll be a Republican president someday, sometime. God help us. We'll have more Republican presidents. And the Democrats will literally want to arrest them and drag them out of the White House during their presidential term for something they're doing in their course and scope of their duties that they don't like. Maybe an executive order, maybe something of that sort. So, I think with this interpretation, the justices are going to look for a narrow interpretation of the law to the facts. I hope they apply it to Donald Trump and figure out the narrow way to do it. But I can tell you they're not going to make some broad sweeping judgment that presidential immunity exists everywhere, all the time, no matter what.
All right. Well, I guess that's better than nothing, right? As long as Jack Smith looks like a fool, I think I'll be happy. But
that we both agree on.
Yeah.
You know, I say it all the time, Tim, on this show, that the left, they go way, way overboard trying to prove something, right? Like somebody trying to bluff in a poker game. The most secure election in history. And now it's nobody is above the law, you know? But I want to see what happens when all this stuff comes out, the Biden crime family stuff comes out. Are they still going to say nobody's above the law when it pertains to Joe Biden?
Well, of course not. Of course not. Because, look, we had the goods. We had the goods on at least one of the chief, what do we say, Vic? The capos, you know? Biden family.
Sure.
You know, capos. They had the goods on Hunter Biden, right? They had the laptop literally in their hands well before the last election. And what did they do with it? They suppressed it. Back quickly to the presidential immunity thing and what you said about Jack Smith. That reminded me of something. Here's the other situation. Here's the other extreme. If they can find a way to give Trump immunity and push back against the massive weaponization of the justice system that Jack Smith is perpetrating, I hope they find it in that situation. I really do. Because what Jack Smith has done is the opposite extreme. He has taken a bunch of statutes and a bunch of laws and corrupted them to fit on to the persona of Donald Trump, just like what Alvin Bragg had. I don't know if you guys have heard about the New York Times piece. There was a piece written in the New York Times yesterday talking about what a ridiculous miscarriage of justice in the New York Times that this Alvin Bragg case is. People are looking at this now that it's playing out in full Technicolor, and they're going, what the hell is Bragg doing? And these are people on the right and the left. They have corrupted the legal system to do this. And so if they can find an immunity provision for Trump to push back against Smith, I really hope they do. So back to the Biden family now. Okay, besides the laptop, they keep saying, where's the smoking gun? Where's the evidence? You don't need a smoking gun. There's a smoking armory, okay? I mean,
yeah.
In the world, nobody can answer this question.
Yeah.
Here's your smoking gun. Nobody can answer this question. How has Joe Biden become a multimillionaire with two multimillionaire properties in one of the wealthiest parts of the planet on a public servant's salary for the last 50 years of his life?
Yeah.
Where has the wealth come from?
Yep.
Where?
Nobody's
above come from selling out the United States of America.
Exactly.
That's
right.
Where it's come from. And if there's not technical violations of the law, and I believe there is, because Hunter Biden has probably been operating in violation of the Foreign Agent Registration Act, FARA, at the very least. That's something that some of Trump's associates were prosecuted and convicted upon. So there's a violation of the law right there. But at the very least, it's ethically and morally corrupt. It is political corruptness and graft at its highest level. We have Tammany Hall now sitting at 1600
wow.
Pennsylvania.
Yep. You know what, Tim? Love hearing you talk. Tim Jones, afternoon guy at News Talk STL, senior fellow at Tax Reformer, senior policy officer at Alec_Stagel. How many pages is your resume, for God's sakes? We'll hear you.
Of all trades, master of none.
No, master of all. Tim, we'll listen to you this afternoon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Continue to have an awesome show.
Thanks, Timmy.
No promises. We'll do our best. And whoosh, my speaker. All right.
Whoosh.
My speaker. When we come back, a little potpourri, a little hodgepodge of stuff. I got some audio I want you to hear. I want some stories I want you to hear, some that relate to the audio you're going to hear. That's all coming up next on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL, number one for live and local conservative talk.
Timmy.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Are you actively monitoring these protests?
We don't monitor protests, but we do share intelligence about specific threats of violence.
Oh, okay. We don't monitor protests, but specific acts of violence. Guess what, Christopher Wray? There are specific acts of violence going on during these protests.
Yeah.
And that makes it the difference between a protest and a riot. As soon as you stick a Palestinian flag pole in somebody's eye, it's no longer a protest. It's a riot.
And you know what he would say about the J6? He would say, well, that's not a protest. That was a riot.
Well, right. And
yeah.
That's what he would say, which isn't true. But now, what's he saying about this?
Right. Well, that's a riot. So we won't monitor a riot.
You know what, Ken? How many times have we said the phrase black swan event?
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, if you say that now, you are a crazy right-wing conspiracy theorist, just so you know, if you even say
that. Well, those all turn out to be true, so that's okay.
But a black swan event, this could be the fuse. What we're seeing now in these protests going on could be the fuse behind a black swan event.
I agree with that, only if we let it happen. We've got to push back. Remember, our guests have been saying this multiple times, that we need to start pushing back when we hear this stuff. That's why I keep saying, trade the Palestinian flags with a swastika. Look what you have. You have the 1930s again. This is what's happening. We need to push back and identify it and make sure that they understand we know that.
Ken, you're so stupid, I swear to God. Did you not hear the FBI director? Play it again.
Okay.
Play the FBI director again.
Are you actively monitoring these protests?
We don't monitor protests, but we do share intelligence about specific threats of violence.
They don't monitor protests. You're so stupid.
No, they only send 60 guys in to infiltrate. They don't monitor it, though.
I cannot believe the hands-off approach that this FBI director has in not stopping it like you say we have to do, okay? Because they're not stopping it.
They're not.
I hate to say this, but are these campus protests National Guard worthy?
Well, let's back up a little bit. I think what upsets me the most is the fact that the Jewish population and the people who back Jews aren't protesting right next to them. And what's going to happen is if they start doing that, then you're going to see violence. You're going to see a need for the National Guard.
some of the violent rhetoric, you know, this one guy was like, we're going to make October 7th be every day. You see that guy say that to a bunch of Jews in New York? So my point is, if you let it go like you're letting it go, it could be the beginning of what may be a Black Swan event.
You're right. Yeah, I agree with that.
And, you know, I'm saying the words Black Swan event because that's the words that somebody like Catherine Herridge would say. Great investigative reporter, worked at Fox for years. Why she left Fox to go to CBS, I have no idea. They fired her. They kept her files.
And we don't know what Fox was doing to her. In retrospect now, we don't know anything about Fox, to be honest with you.
You're right. But she has said she worries about a Black Swan event. Now, a Black Swan event can be a violent thing, like we're seeing now, or I'll say it again, and like you have said, all these Chinese nationalists that have come across the border. And then the story we had earlier this week about there could be a cyber Black Swan event.
Yes. Now, I think that could be more relevant and more and bigger than what we're talking about.
Right now, with all the people in the government, right? I mean, the government is too big. Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
With all the people in the government, nobody's keeping a watch on what these Chinese nationalists can do for a cyber attack. And Black Swan events against the United States.
Here, let's put that into perspective. The Border Patrol, for example, I think is something like 18,000 people. The IRS alone, one other department, 87,000 plus.
Oh my God!
So put that into perspective. They're arming these people. Yep. So
speaking of arming, there's a guy in New York City. He's from Brooklyn. He's been convicted of 13 weapons charges after being arrested and charged in 2022 for building his own firearms. His name is Dexter Taylor, and his ordeal became a landmark Second Amendment case in light of the Bruin ruling handed down the same year. And they found him guilty of second-degree criminal possession of a loaded weapon, 4 counts of third-degree criminal possession of a weapon, 5 counts of criminal possession of a firearm, second-degree criminal possession of 5 or more firearms. What's going on here? Prohibition on unfinished frames or receivers. So this guy is basically a gunsmith.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what he is. And they, throughout history, I mean, throughout even before the Revolutionary War, we've had gunsmiths.
Mike, yes, you're right. And now, how many people gunsmith in this country? It's a hobby. It's what people do for fun. And again, I'll say it, people who believe in the Second Amendment and responsible gun ownership know how to hold a gun, know how to store their gun safely, locked if there's kids in the house, whatever the story is. And this is not a reason to throw somebody in jail.
Vic, this is going so far beyond the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment to me means I could have tanks in my backyard. I could have cannons in my backyard. As long as I'm not hurting anybody, it's none of the government's business what I have. What I own, if I have farmland that has a whole bunch of ammunition stored in it, it's none of their damn business.
Well, you're so stupid. Well, how'd you get so stupid? This judge said the Second Amendment does not exist in his courtroom.
Yeah, he's a liar.
The Second Amendment, the Constitution, he should be disbarred.
He should be.
Just for saying this.
They take an oath of office to protect the Constitution of the United States of America, and in it is the Second Amendment.
The Constitution in all of the Constitution, all of the amendments to the Bill of Rights, not just one or not just two, not just the ones that you want to choose to be okay.
Right.
I can't.
So can we, with that thinking, that's logical thinking. Well, then if he can choose that one, can we choose other ones?
You're right.
Can
exactly.
Can we choose the Eighth Amendment? Can we choose the 10th or 14th, maybe?
Well, they're already disregarding the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, illegal search and seizure. I mean, there's a bunch of amendments. They're just ignoring.
They can choose. And then when the Supreme Court comes down on you and says, no, you can't do that, then you say, like Biden does, say, well, your vote does not matter anymore. Because that's what Biden is doing right now.
Yep. Absolutely right. All right, let's get out of here. I can't do this anymore.
You can do it.
I can't. Okay. Mark Harder from the St. Louis County Council. He's next on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL, number one for live and local conservative talk.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Eric Clapton, good morning. It's 101.9, 94.1 News Talk STL. So we are at 101.9 FM on your radio dial. We're also at 94.1 FM on your radio dial. So, you know, if you're down here by us, you know, when I say down here, even the city or in the county, South County, but if you're up in St. Charles County, Bowling Green.
Absolutely.
All that beautiful area up
Franklin
there.
Franklin County.
Franklin County, 94.1 is your frequency to tune in on your radio. But to make it even easier, just go to wherever you buy your little apps or get your free apps and get the News Talk STL app, and then you'll be able to push one button and then one more button for play, and you'll be able to listen to the station wherever you are through the app, and it sounds great. That's all I want to say. I don't want anybody to miss all this fun.
I know.
All right, Ken. All rise.
From the county of St. Louis.
Crime issues, economic development.
This is Mark Harder.
Did you roll out the red carpet and all that? Is that all it?
Oh, yeah.
Specified for Mr. Harder. Good morning, Mr. Harder. How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing good.
I'm down up. Oh, there I am. I'm on the cam there. Good, good. How are you guys? I got
to
show
to make sure.
I just got to make sure. You know, we can't look at Tim Jones's face all day. You know, come on. I have a show off my new campaign wear to the camera. Anybody see it?
So in case you're not watching, just listening, he's got a Harder for Senate fleece. Is that a fleece
yeah, this
you're
is
wearing?
My, springtime and fall time door knocking wear.
Okay.
So,
if you make a Harder for Missouri hoodie, I'm in.
Okay.
I'm in. I love hoodies.
Okay.
You do?
Now, what's that supposed
That's
to mean?
So
over
weird.
There?
I would not have even imagined. Huh.
Especially
like
when he puts his dark glasses on. It looks like the Unabomber.
That's right. And then the hood up.
And the hood up, yeah. Walks around town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Okay.
Anybody else
want
to kick a man when he's down, you guys?
I'm good.
All right.
We love you.
No more piling on. All right. So last night at the county council meeting, I thought for sure that I would say, hey, Mark, any crazy Palestinian pro-Hamas protesters there? And you say, yeah, they came in and they nobody?
No, we're down the two.
That's good.
Down the two, and they couldn't sit still because we went a little longer than normal. So they kept getting up and going out. I don't know where they were going, but they're coming back and forth. But so I guess they're all in New York, camped out. They're not in St. Louis anymore. So we'll see. You know, they seem to be waning down in their support, and maybe they're moving on somewhere else.
All right. So pardon my naivete, but you think the protesters that were at the county council meetings were bussed in? Is that what you think?
I don't know. I mean, they do show up. I've never seen a physical bus.
I never thought of it until you said it. But
yeah, but
they all
tend to show up, and they tend to show up late many times. But you know, they did show up in the beginning. There was hundreds of them in the beginning.
Yeah.
And now they're down the two.
Can I ask a question? If you can't answer it, just say you can't answer it. Of the county council, who are there any Jewish people on the council? Do you know?
Not that I know of.
Okay. I wonder how. Sam Page, is he Jewish?
No.
Okay. Well, it's hard for them to be empathetic, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm surprised they've kept, you know, we've kept this front of not even bringing up this whole issue of a resolution, which is amazing because there's some people on our council who will remain nameless that I thought would bring it up, and they haven't. And so we just kind of let them speak as we always do. They get their 3 minutes and we move on to other issues.
Okay. So what was talked about last night?
Well, actually, last night we talked about a bunch of things. Councilwoman Clancy had a resolution, or a number of resolutions, actually four, talking about this new administration building that Paige wants to build. And she's been very vocal about why we can't make a decision, why we can't go ahead and just approve this thing and get it on the ballot and all that kind of stuff, pushing it forward. And Dennis Hancock and I have been pushing back on the numbers, been pushing back on the ideas of the whole thing, pushing back on the choices that we have, because we don't think we have all the choices in front of us. And so she wanted to put four choices, basically, in a resolution form last night and get us to vote on it. And so we went down the list last night, you know, do we want to build a building? You know, and four of us said no. Okay. And do we want to find other locations for the building? And we said no. And do we want to retrofit the building? We said no. But her final one was, do you want to do nothing? And so we said no to that, too. So it isn't an issue about we don't want to do anything. We just don't like the choices that are put in front of us.
I have a question.
We haven't gotten all the information that we feel we need and the residents of St. Louis County feel they need, because they're going to pay for it. We're not going to pay for it. I mean, we will as residents, but the residents as a whole are going to pay for any decision we make, and we need better information.
So I'm a little intrigued here, because you said four of you voted no, which means it had to be some sort of bipartisan vote.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's only two true conservatives on the council.
Right, right. No, it was bipartisan no. Two Democrats, two Republicans. And the three on the other side were two Democrats and one Republican. So, and they were quite vocal about, you know, taking the page line of thinking in this issue. So that was brought up last night. And I can see this new narrative, and people need to be aware of this. I think the new narrative will be scare tactics from now on. It will be things that were said last night that if you come in our building, you're breathing asbestos, or there's mold in our building, or the building's somehow going to fall down, or that, you know, we need this because, Clayton's going to come and condemn the building. And, you know, it's all these scare tactics that they're trying to persuade, or at least break one of us four into going their way. And I think that's going to be the new narrative going forward, and people need to know about that.
Why is it never an option about the asbestos and all that? Why isn't it ever an option to call somebody like Larry Connor's client, Wellington, and just call them and remediate the place? Why is that never an option? Why does it have to be tear down the building and build a new one? It seems pretty drastic to me.
Right, right. And I think so, too. And I think this is a pile-on situation. In other words, the story started years ago about fire sprinklers. And so they go, well, it's going to cost us X 10 years ago for fire sprinklers. Well, if we're going to do that, then we need to remediate the asbestos if we're going to climb up in the frame of the building. And so, okay, how much does that cost? So you pile that on. Well, if we're going to do that, our windows are not very energy efficient in the building, so we might as well replace the windows in the building. You see how, and it just keeps piling on. Oh, the chiller system on the roof is 50 years old. That needs to be replaced because of intermittent heating and cooling in the building. You know, all these things keep adding on. So this is now we've reached a point where it's like, well, we need this big pot of money and we can do all this, or we can tear the whole thing down and build new for almost $500 million.
So I get exactly where they're going. Well, if we're going to spend money on this, we might as well spend the money to tear down the building and a new building. But what really are the numbers? Not specific numbers, but how much more would it be? And again, you don't have to be specific, to build a new building to just remediate. If remediating is a dollar cheaper than doing a new building, you remediate. They have no problem saying, it's taxpayer money. Who cares? They'll pay for it. They don't care.
As Margaret Thatcher once said, socialism is when you run out of other people's money eventually. But that's where this is kind of going. It's like, you could build a new building, basically a new campus, not just building, for about $500 million or $600 million. Or we can do incremental, fire systems, asbestos, windows, chillers, and add that all up on this side, which is less than building a building, by the way.
There you go.
They feel, the new building will be another 50 years of use as we have already. We've had the building was built in the 70s, late 60s, and designed back then. Yes, it has asbestos around the framework of the building. And so that's the way they built them. And there's a lot of buildings in this town that were built at that same time. That's what they use for fire retarding. So it's out there. People work around it every day. They know how to remediate it if they have to. And but suddenly, after 50 years, it's a crisis. And most of this is being pushed on us by the fire district of Clayton that says we have to have a sprinkler system on a building of our size.
But even with the sprinkler system, it still would be less than tearing down the building and building a new building.
I think eventually, yeah. And we could do it over time. We wouldn't be in this crisis mode to build a building in 2 years.
Can you... I'm sure this wasn't brought up, and I don't know whether you want to bring this up, but take the people who are voting to build a new building and ask them, your house that you live in, right, wherever they live in their house, if you need new windows, if it's got asbestos, are you going to get that fixed? Or are you going to tear down your house and build a new house?
Right.
I mean, it's so ridiculous. Why right. why can't they just take it from that perspective? Right. And oh my God, no, we would never tear down our house. Well, then I'll tear down the county building.
Right. And Dennis Hancock has used that analogy, is that, you know, you got a leaky water heater. You don't tear down the house. You call a plumber. You don't call an architect to tear down the house and build a new one.
Right.
So, yes, he's used that analogy many times, and I agree with it.
But what's their answer to it?
Well, it's this whole pylon situation that if you're going to take it to this level of investment, you might as well go the next level, which is to build a whole new.
See, that might as well concept needs to go.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because it's not their money.
Yeah.
You know, it's taxpayer. Let the taxpayers pay for it. They're a bunch of chumps anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And Mark, you know, how much asbestos is in the building? And have they defined where it is and like how much is the whole, is every wall full of it?
No, it's in the framework. You know, what they did in those days with skyscrapers, including the Trade Center in New York and other skyscrapers, as they reinforced so that the framework of the building would not burn, you know, in a big fire. And so that it wouldn't collapse. So you sprayed on this asbestos coating that doesn't burn or protects the steel so it wouldn't burn. And so that people can get out of the building and it's not going to collapse on them in a fire. But the two together, the sprinkler system and the asbestos, has led to this discussion about, you know, where we should go with this whole thing. So it's out there.
I have a question for you, Ken Williams.
Yeah.
So I said to him, if you add up all the stuff they want to do, oh, the windows aren't energy efficient, the cooler's not working in the attic or whatever the hell that is, the asbestos and all that. If it adds up to $1 less than tearing down the building and building another one, you do it that way.
Yeah.
They don't take into account that whatever is less expensive for the taxpayer, and an analogy for you, Ken Williams, is when we call voter fraud in elections, they say, well, there was no indication of widespread voter fraud. Why does it have to get to a point of widespread?
Right.
If there's one case of voter fraud, stop and do the election again.
And have a forensic audit to find out how it happened and then arrest those people who were involved.
Why can't we get a point? I know what I'm saying is ridiculous, but if it's $1 less, then don't tear down the building.
I'm doing a deck right now, and if there's one thing that I am doing right now is gathering all the materials and everything, and if at one place it's $5 less, I'm going there. And that's the way they should be thinking when they're talking about this building.
About tearing a whole building down and making a new building instead of just getting Wellington to get the, you know, well, asbestos out.
I was talking to somebody this morning. I think it's a worldview look at things, at projects. I think conservatives look at a worldview as government is a necessary evil. And why do we don't need to worship government. We need to, it is there to serve us,
right,
and to make sure that our lives are taken care of to a certain extent, but it's not there to provide for every need of our life. And so when you have people that see government as this be all to end all for everybody, they worship government. So we need to have the best administration building, or we need to have the best this, because that's the place where you come. That's the church that you come to, the worship,
wow,
the government gods.
That's
and
solid.
So there's an idea there that, you know, conservatives like ourselves are like, okay, do we need to have the fanciest windows? Do we need to have the fanciest building?
Exactly.
You know, you want it to be safe. You want it to be nice, but does it have to be, you know, the St. Peter's in Rome? So, no, it's just a government. It's a building to
make
go
it
to.
Make it efficient. That's
yeah. I've even argued, do we even need to own a building? You know, government's going to change. Government, the size of government is going to change. So building a building and deciding today what we need is going to be different than what we need 10 years from now,
right,
or 20 years from now. So why can't we just find an office building, which is what it is? It's no special building.
Right.
It's an office building. Have an office building. Put the government workers in an office building like every other company and work out of that.
Yeah.
And lease it until you decide what is the real size of government, what it should be, before you go and invest in a building that could be obsolete in 4, 5, 10 years.
Yeah. All right, Mark,
so
we gotta go,
those are the big things.
We got to go, but I just want to leave with this thought that, you know, we need a conservative as county executive, and we can't wait till campaign season to start working on it.
Yep.
You know, we need to start working on it now to find the exact perfect person, man or woman, whoever that is,
right,
to be the new county executive.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Give me that Mark. Website real quick.
Yeah, it's markfarmmissouri.com. Make a donation.
Please do. All right. Our thanks to Mark for being with us. Thank you for having the record player on at night to listen to us this morning.
Make sure you have the record player on at night.
We elected that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. 81 million votes. Bongino is next. Kenny and I will see you tomorrow at 9 on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL, number one for live and local conservative talk.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.